be around somewhere if it happens.
Wow, this is great.
But sometimes they, you know, who knows, maybe they lease one of those towers.
Adjusted the tower.
I'm telling you. I have strict off orders tomorrow, just do not email me, leave me during this meeting, you text me, because they're gonna get me emailing.
Don't tell them.
No, no, I'm not gonna tell them.
All right, it's 8:00, and we can get started with the audit committee. So, good morning, today is Friday, June 16th, 2017, and the time is 8 a.m. We have a quorum of the audit committee, and I now call this meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 21st, 2017. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Were there any corrections to the minutes?
No.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on April 21st, 2017? All right. Second?
Second.
All right, thanks. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. So now we have the audit committee review of agenda activities, and we'll start with Commissioner Jones. Can you reach it?
No.
There we go.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Savings and mortgage lending is on page 5. With regard to the management information systems audit, the status of those two items is in the materials. With regard to the newer, the 2017 thrift examination Garza Gonzalez audit, that will be being presented later on in the meeting. However, what we've shown here is that we've completed two of the recommendations and have scheduled the last one to be completed by the end of August. And then on the state auditor's office audit, which you all saw previously and it is in the materials, I first want to thank the SML staff because many people spent a lot of time responding, gathering information. I felt our staff was very responsive. Particularly want to thank Antonia, who is our point of contact for all of our audits. And so she not only has to gather and respond to her own areas, but coordinates the whole. So I appreciate her work on that. We, as you all know, we agreed with the recommendations. We have completed 4 of them, and the others are in process. We also, June 2nd, had a SORM audit, State Office of Risk Management audit, and we are waiting for the report on it. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have one question.
Uh-huh.
One of the, I'm not sure which audit, you've been audited a lot. So there's a follow-up of audit exceptions, and what it's talking about, it's on page...
Let's see which one it is. Is this the Garza Gonzalez? Thrift.
Is it?
I can't see that.
Department of Savings.
I can't read this.
It could be.
Yeah, I think it is.
So I should say that.
Well, or Stephanie, see if you want her to answer something about what we've done about
okay,
it.
Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
It says that when you complete audits, that there's a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says significant internal audit exceptions, or exceptions not identified as being significant. And what I'm looking for is, what is the definition of a significant versus an insignificant?
And Stephanie, if you'll introduce yourself and,
oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
With time. Yeah.
I think there's 4 different categories, weren't there, in terms of material or not material or significant? Or
well, this is a specific, it's follow-up of internal audit exceptions, and it's on page 52 of 98.
And it's speaking to our own
follow-up.
I'm Stephanie Trottian, the chief thrift examiner responsible for the thrift examination area. So this finding deals with, we do audits of our examination work papers, and these were the audit memos issued in response to those audits of the work papers. In that review, it discusses whether what items were found and if they're deemed significant or insignificant. Those that are significant would be items that would be material or may reflect changes to the examination report.
Okay, so to the ratings or to
yes,
the
ma'am.
Okay. And the insignificant is there's a typo or something in it.
Typo or filing administrative type things.
Okay, perfect. All right, that was my only question. Thank you.
Thanks, Steph.
Do I hear a motion? Well, no, let's go on to Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you. The report on outstanding audit findings for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is on page 36. And so presented here, we have for you three items, two of which have been completed. Both of those were from our audit, from the state auditor's office. And one of them relates to financial reporting process, and the other relates to information technology, and so those have both been completed. And then the last item was the first item, which is, as you know, has been on here for a while, but as I reported to you last meeting, that we've had some significant progress on that since the last period, and we expect that we will complete that by the end of August, and we'll have an ongoing regular process that will deal with those particular issues. So we expect hopefully to have that, we expect that to be completed by August. And that's all my report on outstanding findings.
Okay. Commissioner Cooper.
Okay, on page 37 from our SDSI State Auditor's Office, we had a finding where they had some discrepancies about individual user rights to our system. That has been corrected. Our next review that we will evaluate that internally will be in August.
Discussion of impossible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Rene Gonzalez, and first of all, Kim sends her apologies for not being here this morning, but she had to attend some CPEs. The report before you today is the annual internal audit report for the savings and mortgage lending. I'm not sure your page numbers, but the first page of our report details a table of contents. And in those particular areas, this report covers the requirements of the state auditor's office. As you well know, after the approval of the commissioners as a whole, it will be submitted to the different state agencies as required by law by November 1st of 2017. So you're pretty early in that regard. The report itself is the internal audit report, deals with the areas of thrift examinations. I think we reviewed all activity through the 6 months ended through February 17th. We issued our report as draft to management and have finalized it here for your review. On page 9 of our report, we share with you the items that we reviewed. The fact that we examined 10 different examinations and 10 different examiners. We looked at the different requirements to assure that the agency complied with the different requirements as outlined in the different procedures. And then on page 10, we share with you the various procedures of our audit scope. And finally, we have two findings. Both are considered medium. I think one of the findings you just discussed where I guess there was no disclosure of significant and insignificant. Staff will be working on that. They have agreed with both findings that we have, and they're moving forward in addressing them. We do have one observation. We're not calling it a finding, but the observation as it relates to the examination of the numbering system of the program. But I understand that they have a new system in place, and that'll help in the numbering system of the work papers as the new exams come up common board. In addition to that, we did a follow-up for this particular engagement, and those are found on page 14 of our report. There are three areas that were still pending from 2016. One has been fully implemented, the disaster recovery plan, and the other two are on track to be completed maybe by the end of this month. They may have been addressed already, as I heard this morning, and or at least by the end of the fiscal year, which is August 31st, 2016. And since they're still ongoing and incomplete, we will be looking at those in the subsequent year to make sure that they've been fully implemented. The last page of our report, item number nine, is a proposed internal audit plan, and that's based on what we know now. We will come and do a risk assessment as required by the Internal Audit Act, and at that time, either this particular financial reporting may stay there. I know that the state auditor's report has been issued, so we'll be looking at that, either do follow-ups on that or change the area we'll be recommending to you. But we'll come back to you with our risk assessment and audit plan later in the year.
Do you look at how frequently the high-risk areas have been audited in the past? Because I'm noticing that the recommendations are the low-risk areas. So how often do you want to see the high-risk areas get audited? And do you take into consideration the other different audits that the agency has had? So, for instance, they've been audited on a number of areas. So when you do your risk assessment, do you look at those dates?
Definitely. Yes, ma'am, we do. Okay. That's not included in here, but it is included in your audit plan when we do the risk assessment and present that audit plan. And in this particular case, we have 14 auditable areas that we have identified over the years. And out of that, we have looked at all of them at this point in time, and we go back 4 years. So we try to touch not only on the high risk and the medium risk, but also the low risk. The higher risk, we are going to be looking at a little bit more often, but depends on the findings that we have or any third-party audits, because you know you still have a state auditor coming in, and if there's other areas of concern, then we may look at it more frequently. But we do look at that as part of the risk assessment.
Well, could I ask a question on that same topic?
Sure.
If you don't mind?
Sure.
So I have a request with respect to that topic.
Sure.
I think it's something we talk about each meeting as to when the last time the high risk was audited and not knowing. And I know I went through the exercise of trying to figure out when they were, and I put years. So is there a way we could modify this chart so that, and it could be a different chart or the same chart, I don't care about the format, just so that it's simple and easy.
Yes.
Where next to, for example, on page 5, or your page 45 in the book, where it shows the high risk column, and you've got legal and enforcement, thrift supervision and compliance, and thrift examinations. Could you put the year just in parentheses next to it that the last internal audit was done? So if I were to look at this, I would know legal and enforcement was 2011, and the other was 2013, and the other was 2010. I think that would be to the benefit of everybody here so that we would know.
And we do that, not part of the internal audit, because this complies with the state auditor's requirement of this format.
So we do
a specific list like this as part of the risk assessment, which
Got
is
it.
What I was sharing with the chairperson. So we have the 14 areas, and then we have the years and when they were done and by whom, whether we did it or State Auditor Office did it or SORM or any other entity.
So am I hearing this can't be modified?
We can include, well, not for the annual internal audit report, but we do.
But can you add that?
Yes, then can that be part of every one going forward so that that's
okay.
clear for everybody?
Sure. For any audit report that we issue, you're saying, not
yes.
just for the risk assessment?
Right. Yes.
Just put that supplemental.
Yes, that supplemental
okay.
page.
Sure, yeah, we can do that.
That'd be great.
I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem.
Because we always ask the same question.
Yeah, we repeat the same question, and it's a research project to try to figure it out.
Right.
Right. So,
and if you want to, I can leave a. I don't
yes.
have, but what
yes,
this one copy,
yeah,
but I'll leave it here.
Yeah,
and make a copy, and that's of course the one we have is here for this particular department, the savings and mortgage lending. But we do that for the three
All
agencies.
Three. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. That's perfect. So, all right. Any other questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's annual internal audit report as prepared and presented by Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates?
So moved.
Lori is the first. And
second.
All right. Hector, second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. And motion carries. Next, we have a discussion and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the Texas Department of Banking's audit report on fixed asset management as prepared and presented by Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates.
Madam Chair, thank you again. And this report deals, of course, with the Department of Banking. And this is an audit on one of the particular areas, the fixed asset management audit that was approved as part of the audit plan. The second audit that is being performed currently is the bank examinations report, and we'll bring that to you when that is completed, and then the follow-up of any prior air audits. But this particular report deals only with the fixed asset management, and fixed asset management is divided into three different categories: your capitalized assets, which is anything over $5,000 and or a year a useful life; your controlled assets that are required to be reported on to the state under the state property accounting system; and then the locally controlled assets or inventory assets that are not required, but DOB decides to record those for control. And in this particular case, on page 5 of our report, we give you the different types of assets that exist. You have total capitalized assets, about $3.6 million. Control assets, which is furniture and equipment, about $469,000. And then the inventory assets, about $179,000. Our objective here is spelled out on page 6. There's 14 particular information that we gathered in order to perform this particular audit. The bottom of page 6 and 7 are our 11 procedures that we follow in each of these areas. And in this case, we have one finding that we considered as medium risk, and on page 9 is the actual finding. We felt everything was comfortable with. The actual issue here is the disposition of assets. So the acquisition of the assets and the recording of the assets were correct. There were some instances where we found when the assets were disposed of, they were not being recorded properly in the system, the accounting system. And of course, management is aware of that. They've taken the position that they have corrected that, and we'll be looking at that hopefully before the end of the year to ensure that that has been addressed fully.
Okay. Any questions?
And I'd like to share with you that we had full cooperation from your staff, not only in banking, but in savings and mortgage department as well, as always.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's audit report on fixed asset management as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
So moved.
Second.
Lori? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motions have it. Eyes have it.
I'll leave this here for copies. Are you
perfect
for today?
Thank you. Okay, next we have a report on activities relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. Commissioner?
Okay, our report begins on page 69, and I'd like to call on Juan Garcia to present the report.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, commissioners. On page 69, you find a summary of the grant activities that have occurred in these last 2 months. Before I get started, I do want to introduce to you Deandra Sullivan. She's our new financial education specialist. She'll be helping us with TIFI and all education-related material. Also, I want to say that we are very excited to have Vince Puente added to the Grant Advisory Committee, an appointment from Madam Chair Linden as well, and we're happy to work with him.
May I say I'm very happy myself.
And also the appointment of Stephen O'Shields, who is also will be serving the Grant Advisory Committee.
Okay.
So on page 69, you have a summation of the activities that have occurred, specifically on the Grant Advisory Committee meeting that we had on May 18th. We talked about policy manual, applications, grant forms, and so what you'll have after this page is the policy and advisory manual that we are recommending for your adoption. In addition to that, on page 69, you have the funding priorities that you have an option to select from, with the ones in bold being the recommendation that we're proposing for your consideration. And last but not least, on page 71, you have a timeline of the grant activities for the rest of this calendar year. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
On some of this, the teacher training programs and such, I know in other states they have coordinated with AFSA and their Money Skill and Jumpstart. Is that something that's being considered by this?
I think any of the organizations that are interested in the TIFI grant have a fair chance of getting the grant, absolutely.
Juan, we now have some experience in grant grants. This is, I guess, our third cycle, is that correct?
We will be starting our third cycle in January, yes, sir.
Do you have a sense of, looking back over the grants we've done, are there any learning there that we can bring to this effort? Because, you know, when we originally started, we sort of didn't know what we would get and what kind of programs we would get. And so, you know, now I'm wondering whether we ought to try to come up with some way to focus on programs that would be more broadly able to be rolled out statewide rather than just sort of one-off. I don't want to pick on Cthulhu or wherever, but, you know, something that just happens one time in one city doesn't seem to be very useful for grant purposes. I'd like to see things that we participate that could actually, you know, become ubiquitous in the state. So is there any way to think about that?
Can I interject something here?
Sure.
I mean, that is a focus when the Grant Advisory Committee and everybody, I mean, there's a question on the application about how can this be replicated. Mm-hmm. And I think when the Grant Advisory Committee considers the competitive applications, they are looking in many cases to be sure that they have things that, you know, sometimes you have to deal with what the options that, you know, the applications that have been received. But I know that I've heard the deliberations focused on more statewide impact or things that can be replicated more easily.
So is there any way for us to check to see whether we actually, whatever they said they did, you know, now 1 or 2 years past,
yep,
where we could identify that as a follow-up that they actually achieve the types of things that they said they would do? Because to me, that's critically important to make these things really efficient and effective.
Now, I will add that I don't have all the list on the top of my, that I can roll off the top of my head, but I will say that we do have TSHAC, and TSHAC is a statewide organization, and they have continued to take their program throughout the entire state, so that's not just one that is particular.
Yeah, so,
but in regards to your question about it ensuring that they are continuing to do what, I mean, there is a longitudinal report that comes after the grant cycle,
okay,
where we're trying to verify what they're continuing to do, so that's the attempt to try to get that information.
And if I may comment, and again, I may not understand it all, but the amount of money we're issuing, it's not going to take it statewide, most likely, anyway. We're limited to the amount of money right now that, you know, we got X amount in the endowment that's going to generate so much interest, and I think we're doing like $25,000 grants at,
yeah,
the highest.
The average 25, 30.
Yeah, about 6 or 7 of those every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not enough money to make a statewide impact. As our endowment grows, as our interest yields, then we'll be able to do more.
I guess that's going back to my point, though, Juan, is that AFSA and MoneySkill and Jumpstart provide these free. So to save that money for other projects, I would partner with these larger groups that are funded by the corporations that fund their membership. And they've already invented the wheel. We don't need to try to do that again.
Well, yeah,
what are those two groups again, Phil?
Jumpstart and MoneySkill are both through the AFSA.
And if I might interject, AFSA and MoneySkill, those are both very good programs. There are other very good programs.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of competition between those very good programs. And at least thus far, the statewide policy has been, comes through really in the education areas. There's a lot of local control that's out there in terms of the locals get to determine what kinds of programs that they wish to offer within their local districts and even within their local schools. And so there's a lot of promotion in education, and I know we have several programs where we're looking at K-12, but there is a lot of competition out there on those particular, and there's many very good programs. And
yeah,
so we're trying to do, what part do we, does this program, the financial education endowment, what role does that play in that kind of environment? So those are all important questions and important issues, and thank you for bringing that up, but I just thought I'd interject.
When last I checked, there were something like 36 approved educational programs by the Texas Education
Agency. That's about right.
For rollout under the social studies programs of the TEA. I have some sense, though I don't, you know, it's sort of anecdotal, that because of budget constraints, some school districts are minimally complying, if at all,
mm-hmm,
with those social studies programs. But the point makes sense, which is we shouldn't be doing something that replicates what the programs already exist, already existing and doing, we ought to Vince's point, not much money, so we ought to be doing something that's slightly different.
Yeah, and for the most part, I think in our K through 12s, we've done some train the trainers for teachers.
Right, which to me is real high value stuff.
Juan, I have one other question too. So in the policy that we'll be covering next, there's an addition that talks about the Department of Savings, and it's on page 76 and 77, where it says, recommend that the SML to advocate for programs focused on asset building, affordable housing, and preparation for home ownership. I didn't note that as being one of the areas that to be under consideration. And it could be hidden, it could be part of it, it could be hidden within a different category, but I just wanted to make sure that we consider that for programs.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, that would fall under financial coaching and consumer counseling. Like I said, TSHAC has been one of those.
Okay. Both cycles we've had groups, more than one group that focus on that type of activity.
Okay, great. That's all I wanted to make sure.
All right. Well, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Our page 90, under E, disbursements of grant funds.
Give me 1 second, please.
Page 16 is named.
Page 90. Well, what number, sir?
E, disbursement of grant funds. Item 3, advanced payments.
Yes.
My question is, my understanding is we don't issue advanced payments.
We can if they tell us in advance. Okay. Nobody's asked us before.
So in the policy, again in my reading, this is the only reference to advance payments. It seems like it's just like out of the blue it says it. So I don't know where it says that we do advance payments. This is just talking about if we did them, then we can take them back. But am I correct? Is there some other point of reference to the advance payments?
In the grant agreement, they have the option of requesting the money up front as well when they sign. Once we award them the funds.
Under what conditions do we give advance?
If it's a new program, sometimes it's something that so let me back up here. As the GAC members review the applications, they may have somebody that has a great idea. And so GAC will be aware of this program being new. Your recommendation will come before this body. And we will say, this is a new program. This is what they're asking. They like to have half of it up front. So this body will make the ultimate decision of whether we move forward with that.
Okay.
But they would have the same requirements and expectations of fulfilling the agreement.
And they would still have to provide the documentation to support the effect of what the reimbursement would have been. So it's not.
And so I was thinking when I read through that, because I kind of had the same question, I don't remember us ever advancing any money. So if, for example, there was a course that was being offered in September and they needed to buy all the materials and books for that course in June for all the teacher training, would that be an example of an advance payment that you would make?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
But it's really presented as more of an exception for more difficult cases.
Right.
The preferred method is pure reimbursement.
But most
they
the money.
Yeah, if they really had to have it, that's...
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so I guess what I'm saying is if this is our policy manual, it seems like the policy should address advance payments and what we think about it. But it just has... Unless there's someplace I didn't see it, this is the only reference to it.
Okay.
You could easily add a couple of sentences.
Yeah. We could add something for that.
Advance payments are okay under these conditions.
Yeah,
or by exception.
Yeah.
Instead of the listing conditions, just say it's only by exception.
Sure.
Okay.
We could do
that.
That's probably good.
Anyway.
Okay. We can bring that back for future consideration. Would that be all right?
Sure.
Juan, I had one question about the grant cycle page on page 71. So for the benefits, because again, we have so many new members on the commission, and this is the first grant cycle that many of them are going through. So sorry, I'm not trying to dumb it down, but everybody's got to learn. There's got to start somewhere. So this takes us through everything except for when they get the money. So so it would be good to see like the whole cycle. So from the time they apply to when they're actually handed a check, so that everybody's kind of clear with that whole. So like on here, it stopped in November, but it didn't reference when the money was actually disbursed.
It would be at the end of, so the cycle, the first expense cycle would be from January 1st of 2018 to June 30th of 2018. And so then they have 30 days to submit their expense report. We'll review it. We'll make sure that all their receipts tie and we know what is happening within their program as well. So we look at program activities. We look at expenses. We think everything's okay. We sign up. We submit to accounting. Accounting makes the process. checked it again.
Is every one of them audited at some point, or is it the test, you know, where you just choose certain ones to audit?
We have not audited the...
Any of them after they're done?
No.
Okay.
But we do have in the manual that we, that this body has the ability to decide if they so...
Well, obviously, if you're collecting the receipts, you know, you're getting results from them and writing. You're measuring their performance, right?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Yeah. And we do some follow-up inspections, and there's certainly right to audit and things.
I ask because I received a grant once in my company many, many years ago, over 2 decades ago when I was quite young. And I did all my homework, hired all the right people, and no one told me I might get audited, but it was not. And it was a painful experience. And so I ask because when you mentioned, Chairman, that you wanted to put in a, you know, the cycle, it's probably wise to let particularly new grantees mm-hmm. know you very well might get audited, so that they're particularly careful to abide by the state rules on how to keep the books.
So one other thing I will add very quickly is that the reason we're moving this cycle a little earlier than from maybe some of the more senior members remember about the program from last terms is that we are going to be hosting a webinar to let them know about, I don't want to say the pitfalls, it's sort of the expectations that come with this money as far as this is subject to audit, this is subject to public open records, things of that nature. You can get an advance if you so, you know, kind of.
Well, to be clear, we did fine, but we had to recreate a lot of things because we were producing everything the state needed, but we weren't keeping it in our own books the proper way. We learned the hard way, and then we knew how to do it after that. But the training on the front end was important. We didn't get the proper training that we brought because we didn't know any better. We didn't ask.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
Do you want to go on?
So, yeah, the recommendation is the approval of the policies and
yes.
the funding priorities.
So we have a couple changes to the policy, right?
That's yes, ma'am.
Based upon Vince's comments, though, do we want to just bring them all back, or are we going to approve what we have now with the changes noted? How do you want to handle
that? My recommendation would be that you approve what you have now with the changes noted.
Okay.
And then we'll consider that to bring back for future, or you know, we can supplement it in the time being,
okay.
sort of internally, and then we can bring back the other issue on the advanced payments
okay.
later.
Do you just want to note the two cleanup
yes.
areas?
Yes, if I may, please.
Mm-hmm.
So on page 76, we're going to be replacing elected with appointed, and that is under B, section B, roles and responsibilities, and subsection C. It says the Grant Advisory Committee, GAC, it says elected, and it should be replaced with the term appointed in the two instances. We inadvertently didn't change that. And then on page 81, thank you. On page 81, under section 3, funding priorities and goals, section A, regarding scope, in the second sentence, the phrase to the audit committee should be inserted after the acronym GAC. And so the sentence will read, with recommendations from the GAC to the audit committee, the Finance Commission will select which categories TFIS efforts will be focused on prior to the start of the new grant award cycle.
And that was intended, but it was just clarification. So
right.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the revised Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund Grant Administration and Advisory Policy Manual and the 2018-19 funding priorities as amended with the corrections on pages 76 and 81? Oh, do I hear a motion?
So make a motion. Sorry.
Second by Director.
Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye. Okay. Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item is on page 95, and Juan had already introduced this. It's just the new appointees to the Grant Advisory Committee, and the first one, Vince Puente, is a chair appointee, so the commission doesn't really have need to approve that. But Stephen O'Shields, he mentioned, was a new appointee, and we need the commission to approve Mr. O'Shields as a new member of the Grant Advisory Committee.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the appointment of a new Grant Advisory Committee member?
So
Second.
Okay, Hector first, Lori second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes.
Hey, Hector, can you get a little more energy into your eye?
We can't hear you.
Okay. Discussion and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action to reapprove the internal auditor contract for Garza Gonzalez and Associates for fiscal year 2018.
Hey, Stephanie Newberg, would you lead the discussion, please?
Good morning. Stephanie Newberg with the Texas Department of Banking. On page 97 of the packet is the letter that we received from the State Auditor's Office to hire an outside firm to perform your internal audit function. You have to have permission from the State Auditor's Office to do so. So we submitted the request a couple of months ago, and they've replied that, yes, we can do that again. This will be the last year that we can renew the Garza contract that we are currently under, if you so choose to renew it, and then next year we'll have to go out through an RFP and start the process over. I'll be happy to answer any questions on that. And I also have the schedule of the auditors we've had over the last several years and the prices, if y'all would just like to look over that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Do we have any questions for Stephanie about the continuing one more year with Garza?
I guess the only I've only heard positive comments. Have we, do we have any concerns that we want to talk about? And the fact that they've been on board for a while seems to tell me that they've been doing a good job.
I think all the three agencies have been satisfied with their performance, and we sort of talked to that about that before or while we were doing the packet preparation, that and we would be comfortable having them.
So in the year, we'll do the deep dive on the RFP to determine right. What to do going forward.
Right. Any further discussion? Okay. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission reapprove the internal auditor contract for Garza, Gonzalez, and Associates for fiscal year 2018?
So moved.
Hector first.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission in Texas is now adjourned. The time is
8:37.
What is it?
8:37.
8:37. All right, there you go. AM.
Okay. All right, good morning. Today is Friday, June 16th, 2017, and the time is 8:40 AM. And I